Real God, isn't he? God is an awesome God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to have Linda read something for me this morning, and then you'll understand it better by and by. Amen.
And say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock.
I want you to listen carefully to what she's reading. Don't just let it pass over your head. Listen carefully to what she's reading. You'll understand it.
If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves and of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it upon the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away its crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part and place by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Chapter 2. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereof on. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest. And he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, and with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if you bring an oblation of a meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine fire, mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if your oblation be a meat offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. You shall put it in pieces and pour oil thereof. it is a meat offering. And if your oblation be a meat offering, baked in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And you shall bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall then take the meat offering, a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in the offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not burn, they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. And every oblation of your meat offering shall you season with salt. Neither shall you suffer the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your meat offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. And if you offer a meat offering of your first fruits unto the Lord, you shall offer for the meat offering of your first fruits green ears of corn, dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Did you all hear all of that? Did you understand it? Could you keep it in your mind? These people had to do that. It wasn't easy. God made it easy for us. My title, God, our Heavenly Father, has made it easy. If we had to do all that those people had to do, I don't think not one of you would be in here this morning. But God loves us so much that he made it easy for us. John 3:16, what does that say? For God so loved the world, he so loved me and you, that he gave his only begotten son. If it had just been me, Jesus would have allowed them to hang him on the cross. As I was reading Leviticus, and I got to thinking, I said, God, you're so great. You are so merciful. You're so kind. No way in the world was I going to give Linda one of my bullets if she didn't have one, because we are selfish people. And so half the people wouldn't have been able to sacrifice, and they did this for the forgiveness of their sins. We don't have to do anything except accept Jesus as the Lord of our life. That's all we have to do is accept Jesus. All we have to do is accept him. Then you got to live for him. There's some other stuff you got to do. There's about 613 laws that God gave. That's why it's so important to read your word. Yeah, all we got to do is accept Jesus. Love God, number one. Love our neighbor as ourselves. But there's some stuff in between all of that. If we love our neighbor, we're going to do something. If we love God, we're going to do something. We're not just going to nilly-willy around. We're not just going to continue to sin. It's wonderful to know that God loved us so much that he gave his only son. And we don't have to do anything but accept Jesus as the Lord of our life. So why is it so hard to live for him? Why is it so hard to lay down the sin that so easily beset us? Well, I don't sin. Yeah, you do. If you're not doing exactly what God tells you to do, you are sinning. God tells us to love him, number one, but there's so many other things that we don't do that God tells us to do. God said, if you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do we know his commandments? We know the 20, we know the 10 commandments, but there's so many other stuff, you know. And if you do the 10 commandments, if you love Jesus, you're going to do the 10 commandments. because you're not going to come against God, and you're not going to come against your neighbor. You're not going to tear them down. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to commit fornication. You're not going to do that if you love God. But if you don't love him, you might do anything. You pick and choose the things that you want to do. But God said he loves us. He wants us. The time is winding down for us to be playing around. Some of us playing with our salvation. Some of us are playing with our eternal life because we want to satisfy our flesh. And flesh will get you to hell. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And flesh will get you to hell because if you're not obeying God's commandments, you are working for Satan. Amen? Ain't but two forces, God and Satan. So if you're not living for God, then you're living for Satan. Amen? So it's not time to be playing around with our salvation. This is a serious life we're living. This is serious time we're living. We might not even make it out the door. Never can tell. People are nuts. They're going completely crazy. And you know why? Because the demons has been turned loose. The pit. The word said the top has been taken off the pit. And every demon that can come out is out and nipping at your heel. You got to have enough of Jesus in you to resist the devil and he will flee. The word of God said resist the devil. Well, God know me. He understand. God do not understand you when you say I love Jesus and then you don't do what he tell you to do. God don't understand that. God really don't understand that. God said you must abide by my rules. God created you and me for his purpose. You know, these people had to do all of this stuff. I didn't even want to read it all. These people had to do all of this stuff to please the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins. We don't have to do it. They had so many offerings that they had to give and they give and they give, and it still didn't take away their sins. It covered them over for a while. But when Jesus came, he took our sins. He took my sins. He took your sins. He hung them on the cross. He buried them in the grave. We don't have to sin anymore. Well, I'm just weak. You have no business being weak if you love Jesus. You don't have no business being weak. He's a powerful and a mighty God. Excuse me. The Israelites had to do, excuse me, a lot of things just to make it through. And they had to raise all of that stuff, plant the cone, do whatever they had to do. They had to do a lot of stuff to get the things that God wanted. They were tired. We talked in Bible study this morning that, they had it easier than we got it. Because we got, I'm going to talk about you, Tanya. Because we got cell phones and blah, 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 so that takes our mind off of for God. No, those people had a lot to do, and you know what? They did it. They did it, yeah. Then along the way, they sinned again. Then they had to do the same thing over and over again. We don't have to do that. God so loved us that he gave his only son, that all we have to do is accept Jesus, accept what he did for us on the cross, and live for him daily. Not just on Sundays. Oh, it's good to see everybody here Sunday. Nobody's sinning, I hope. Nobody texting, is it? Nobody talking on the phone, right? It's good to see you serving God today with your whole heart. Like Baby Bob said, serve God. He's looking for somebody to serve him with their whole heart. Not just part of the heart. Not just a Sunday heart. But a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday worship of God. And all he asks us to do is praise him. That's all he asks. See, this is what these people were doing, giving those offerings. They were praising God. This was their praise to the God. This was all he asks us to do is open up our mouth and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, you brought me a mighty, mighty long ways. Lord, you kept me. when everybody else around me getting killed, everybody else around me falling down. All he wants us to do is praise him. Acknowledge who he is. We don't acknowledge who he is, because if we did, we would not do the things we do. And then if we did, we would do the things that he told us to do. There's many things, and you got to search your own heart. What is it that you're not doing that God has told? Why is it that you're having such a hard time praising God or worshiping God or believing him for whatever you believe? I'm believing him for healing. What you believing him for? We got to be believing him for something, because everybody needs something. Everybody needs something. But God is here to give it. He's here to offer it to you. Most of all, we need salvation. Sure, no. Jesus is truly coming soon. You can see the signs of the times all around. If you read your Bible, you would know what the signs of the times are. If you read your Bible, you would know that God said all of these things must happen, and then the end. How many read their Bible this week? I know Angelica was waiting for me to read. So that keep her on her toes. Amen. Yeah, read your word. Read your word every day. You eat food every day. Read your word every day so that you get strong. You need to get strong in the body with food. You need to get strong in the spirit with Jesus. Amen. And if you say you know Jesus and you don't read your word, you don't know him. You know, you just, I might read it once a week. Well, that's all you know Jesus once a week, because he wants to speak to you every day. And I always say, when you come up in here, you come looking for Jesus. You not come looking for entertainment. You not come looking for the music. You not come and look, see who's here. That ain't going to get you to heaven. That ain't even going to make you get through the next week. But if you come up in here on a Sunday, you need to be looking, okay, God, what do I need out of the word so that will take me from one day to the other? We have such an awesome time at Bible study. Don't we, saints? We do have an awesome time. And it helps us from one part of the week to the next part of the week, because we can't make it. We need each other. That's why God said, love him first, love yourself next, and love your neighbors as yourself. And what happens a lot of time, we don't love ourselves. We really don't. It's hard for some people to love themselves. Let me tell you something. You are special. You are specially made by God. You are a designer original. You're one of a kind. There's nobody else in the world like you. And the only thing we have in common is we all love Jesus. That's the only thing we have. We are individual people. I can't be like Sister Audrey, and Sister Audrey can't be like me. I can't be like Tanya, and Tanya can't be like me. But you need to find your place in the body of Christ. You need to find your place. It ain't just about coming. It ain't just about singing. You have a place, a special place. God says, I know the plan and purpose I have for you. Plan of good success. You know what the good success is? To do his will. We're looking for good personal success. That's not what he's talking about. Plan of good success, doing his will. Because when you do his will, you are going to be blessed. You are going to be happy. You are going to be joyous. You're going to have peace regardless of what you're going through. When you're in the right place with God and you're doing what God has called you to do, nothing but joy, unspeakable joy. We don't have to be like the Israelites. We don't have to burn. We don't have to burn on the altar. Can you imagine pastor having to sling blood all over this place? Poor pastor. And you know the priest got to eat the some of the food. Starving. Yeah, because we are selfish people. I'm so glad God looked beyond our faults, and he looked and he saw way ahead that we won't gonna be able to do that. So he says, son, you got to go, because they're not going to be able to hold fast. And Jesus has come, and we still can't hold fast. We still hang him on the cross sometime daily, because we choose to satisfy our flesh. Flesh will kill you, and flesh will get you to hell. Amen. So lay down those sins that so easily beset you. Be patient. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. Hallelujah. It says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. When we fear the Lord, have reverential fear. I fear him for real, but I have reverential fear too, because I saw what God did in the Old Testament. Open up the ground and swallowed up the people. But he said, he who fears the Lord has a secure. We're hid under the shadow of the Almighty. So God wants us to love him with our whole heart, but staying in reverential fear. You don't just do anything. We talked this morning, I think, about in Bible study, about doing stuff. Hiding it from your mama, hiding it from your daddy, but not realizing God saw everything. God sees everything. He knows every heart. He knows that. And he knows what you're able to do and capable of doing. And he has given us the ability to worship him with our whole heart. He has given us that ability. He would not tell us to live holy if we couldn't live holy. So fear the Lord. Have reverential fear of him. Because I'm sure the Israelites did for a little while. Then they got weary. Don't be weary in doing well. Don't. We can't get weary. This is time now that the enemy wants to wear you down. He wants to bring confusion. He wants to bring separation. He wants to divide us. He wants somebody to come in here and rip this church all apart. But God said, not so. He said, watch as well as pray. You know, God will move people out of your way so that you will be blessed. God is not going to let the enemy steal what he has given to you if you don't let him. If you want to be sincerely in the presence of the Lord and loving the Lord, God will fight your battles for you. Okay? God said, I will write my laws on the tablets of your heart. There's no excuse for us to sin because God said he'll write his laws. But you know what? You got to read his laws. You got to know what he's saying. You can't just go and say, well, God's going to fix it for me. Mm-mm. He has told you how to do it. He has told you how to live so that you can be blessed. And he said when the praises go up, what? The blessings come down. So we truly have to bless the Lord at all times. God, our Father, made it easy. He said he loves us so that he sent his only son. He said Jesus did not come to condemn the world. A lot of times we condemn each other. If we slip and fall, God don't see that slip and fall. You know how God looks at us? Through the blood of Jesus. And I'm so happy about that because there's no perfect person in this church or in any other church. When God looks at us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. That is powerful blood. So the thing is, I'm encouraging you this morning. I don't have much to say. I'm encouraging you to get in the Word, to live for Christ, to find out what Christ would have you to do here in this place. This is your body of Christ. He put you here. If you believe he put you here, then you ought to be doing what you need to be doing for this body of Christ. Amen? If you believe he put you here and you're doing some things, you know, sometimes you have to tell pastor what you're doing. He's the leader. You know, sometimes we out running all over the place doing stuff and your leader don't know where you are. So you need to be telling us. See, there's an order and arrangement. God has order and arrangement. And when we get out of order, we go amok. Things happen. So I'm encouraging all of you. I thank God for our musicians that came in and sat down. They know what they were called to do. Nobody called them to do it but God. Amen. We didn't go looking for them, praise God. God sent them. I bless the Lord for that. Thank you. I thank God for the worship leaders that know where they're supposed to be on a Sunday morning. And they're here, you know, and on time. On time. On time. Wonder what time the church starts. On time. See, sometimes it's the little things that we have to tweak. That's that what they call it? Tweeting, tricking, adjust. That's right. It's the little things that we have to adjust, because if we do it to the glory and honor of God, we got to do it right, saints of God. And once we tweak, adjust the little things, then God can send in more people. You can see that. Once we get in the place where we're supposed to be and be on time, see, it's the flesh that keeps you from being on time. It is the flesh now. But I bet you don't let the flesh rise up on a Monday morning. Is that right, Pastor? I'm looking at Pastor now. I ain't looking at nobody. The flesh don't rise up on Monday morning. Does it, Jenny? And you got to go all the way to Washington. I bet you're on time. And see, these are the little things. You know, God is not fussing, because usually I'm fussing when I get up here. But he didn't give me anything to fuss about. He just wants us to adjust our lives to him. He's not going to adjust his life to us. He wants us to adjust our lives to him, and then he can do the things that he need to do for this God's Miracle Church. We're in God's Miracle Church. I can't talk about nobody else's church. I don't know nothing about that. But I know if God put you here, he put you here for a reason. And we're not just a church, we are a body. So there's some hands in here, there's some feet in here, there's some heads in here. Sometimes the shoulders are missing. We look cockeyed sometimes. Yeah, we would look cockeyed this morning. I bet this place was full last night. I bet it was. Good old eat time. Good old eating time. But you need to run more for eating the word of God. Amen? Because if you can come last night, you could come this morning. Amen? If not, you shouldn't have come last night and made sure you came this morning. And I'm not talking about anybody. I don't know who was here and who wasn't here, but I bet it was fuller than this. Amen? We must stand in reverential fear of the Lord. We must adjust our lives to the Lord. How many think they can do that? Yeah. And whether you're thinking you do it, you must do it. You must. It ain't this. This is not an option. Like God's commandments, they're not optional, because God is holy. Because God hates sin. Because the wages of sin is death. Jesus bought us from sin. Jesus took sin for us. Jesus became sin for us. The Father turned his back on Jesus. Now, if he turned his back on Jesus, you know good and well he'll turn his back on us because of sin. God said, "Be holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the kingdom." God said, "You have the strength to live holy. You have the strength to be totally obedient to him." And sometimes we don't do the littlest things because we say, "Well, that's okay." And God does understand me. I'm telling you again now, God don't understand anything but his holiness and his word. And his word is Jesus wrapped in his word. Amen. Let's see. Amen. on Hebrews 10 and 16 says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart and I will write them on their minds. Then he asks, their sins and lawless acts, I will remember how? Every day? No more. So if he's not going to remember them anymore, why do we keep doing them? We are made in the image of God. We have the same mind as Christ, amen? So we ought to forget how to sin. Isn't that right? We ought to really forget how to sin. We ought to forget how good sin felt. Yeah? We ought to forget how good sin feels. Amen? Because God said he will remember them no more. So we shouldn't remember it. And we should live holy. For God said, be holy, for I am holy. We should give our all in all to the Lord. We should be on time coming to church. We should pay our tithes and our offerings. We should do everything that God tells us. We should love one another, encourage one another, lift one another up when they're falling down. We need to watch our sisters and brothers. Sometimes we let sisters and brothers come in here and don't even give them a hug. And sometimes they're weary. They're tired. Sometimes these two people tired. And a lot of times we wait for the pastors to hug us sometimes. Sometimes the pastors need a hug. You understand? So God is calling us to adjust our lives to him. Amen? So I'm finished. Amen?